Welcome back to Talkin' Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I'm the evil version of Bridget's dad.
That was the best intro you've ever done, Dad.
Well,
evil Dad.
It's evil Dad. Thank you. I am sporting a goatee and mustache because of our mirror episode that we're going to do tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that evil Spock was evil because you could tell he was evil because he had a beard and mustache.
That's where it all started.
Yes. And so, but here's the thing. I've said for years that beards and mustaches make people 50% more evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you need to do to prove this is look at mugshots at the county slammer.
Oh, yeah?
You can go online, say mugshots at the county slammer, type it in, Google that shit.
Oh, he said it!
And you will get, I will tell you, there's probably 80% of people in the county slammer have beards and mustaches, goatees mostly.
Oh.
Which makes them, you know, well, they're already evil because they're in the county slammer. So therefore, and
jeez,
not to
no
say.
No forgiveness from no understanding for people
I'm not
in
trying,
a tough situation.
I'm not saying anything bad about people in the county slammer, but generally speaking, if you're in the county slammer, you might have done something wrong.
True.
Just saying. You know, just saying. So,
dad has.
I'm trying not to be judgmental, but statistics bear me out.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Hi. This is.
Yeah. Eric. We Eric wants to chime in, so we should introduce.
Well, wait a minute.
Him.
You should introduce Eric.
Yeah. So
it's hard because of the mustache.
If you recall, one of our episodes where we talked about First Contact, we had guest Eric Anderson, and here he is back for more Talkin' Trek. So put your hands together for Eric Anderson. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, welcome back, Eric.
So now that I've been introduced, I just really want to chime in on the statistical analysis that we've just run. I believe I'm Talkin' Trek's official GTSer.
Yes,
that was decided at some point.
Do you want to GTS the statistics of evil people in prison? Is that what we're?
I'm worried
is that, what,
that
or the goatees in prison. What are we looking up here?
I'm not even sure. You know what? I'm just going to not get on any watch lists by searching any of this. And I will just say that the statistics of 80% more likely to be evil are probably a little far.
You can say that, but it's my firm belief that when I have a goatee and mustache, I'm 50% more evil. And here's
you feel
the thing.
It?
Oh, yeah, I feel it. I feel,
you feel it.
It. And here's the thing. Normally, if I don't have a beard and mustache, I'm a normal person. And a normal person is 50% evil. Because
we always have the choice of right and wrong.
Because we always have the choice of right and wrong. So we're 50% evil. But when I have the beard and mustache, it's pushing me over to the evil side. So I really can't help myself.
So is this why mom texted me angry that you were growing a goatee?
Yes, because she didn't want me to be evil. When I'm evil dad, I flip off way more people on the street in traffic than I do.
The road rage.
Oh yeah, more road rage, more, you know, I don't know,
More like all beard kinds rage. Of rage.
Oh, yes, beard rage.
Beard rage, yes. Okay, well, if you have beard rage, email us at say_hi@talkintrek.com.
I'm sure there's a lot of beard and mustaches people out there that are going to say, I'm not evil.
No.
Yeah.
But hey, they're just 50% more evil.
I'm going to say, look into your heart.
Right. You will find.
Look into your heart and see how evil you are.
Dad has an evil goatee on right now. Eric and I have evil facial hair right now today as yeah. well. We'll share.
It's very French if you're looking at the pictures.
Eric is
on Instagram. Yeah,
we will. Eric is only 25% more evil.
Yeah, he only has.
He's only 75% evil right
well,
now.
He's got beard. He's got beard shadow.
I actually wanted to be.
That's like 75%.
No, that's like I don't know, 80% evil. I don't know. It's just a little 5 o'clock shadow. Uh-huh. So I
actually shaved so that I could be better for this podcast. I was trying to improve my evil. Personality. So I feel like I'm in a very giving and positive mood today. So.
Well, there you go. But see, now Bridget is only 25% more evil.
I took my mustache off, so now I just have the chin covered, which my brother Michael and I would call the Sugar Ray.
Mike would call
Jerry Mark McGrath whenever Jerry would do that.
Well, recently, your brother Michael had full-on Amish going for him.
Yeah, he had a...
Oh, he had... He had
8-inch long beard.
Oh, yeah, I know. He was Jebediah. He was full-on Amish. I started to say thee and thou to him just so he could understand.
I bet he loved that.
Little known fact, that actually gave him 50% better butter churning.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely correct. And
this is why we have you on.
Well, no, I almost pointed that out, but I didn't want to go quite that far. But hey,
if Weird Al did it, then I can do it too.
You just witnessed something great because you just went too far for even Dad. Mom texted me, how could you? I was like, what? She's like, oh, you know. And I was like, no, really, I don't. But if you recall the end of our last episode, when I chose this episode, Dad said, oh, I'll grow a goatee. And I said, yes, do it. And then I completely forgot I said that.
So there is proof, recorded proof.
It was all me.
I stopped shaving and your mom said, why are you doing that? And I said, talk to your daughter. I said,
under the bus.
Yes. I'm doing this for my daughter because I love her. I'm doing this for her.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. That's, you know, yeah, I threw you under the bus, but hey, whatever. I am going to shave it off. Everybody's going to be shaveable.
Do we have a sponsor for this week, Dad?
Yes, we do. Let's see. Our last sponsor was Dilithium Crystals, was it not?
Yeah, did they?
Which that actually came back in this episode.
Are you sure they didn't pay for this week too?
No. No, this week's sponsor is the Orion Triple Farm. When you want triples, think Orion.
Orion. Wow. You know, I often think of triples. And now I'm going to go to Orion Triple Farm. Like, why go anywhere else, people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and when you go to the Orion Triple Farm, it'll be no triple at all. Boom.
What's next? Yeah, go.
No, I love it. I was just going to commend the Orion Triple Farm for that wonderful catchphrase that they've come up with.
Sorry, what's next on the list, Dad?
Have we actually said the name of the episode yet?
No, but next on the list is the haiku contest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, haiku contest winner. We had a haiku contest.
You all remember.
Trekku in the last episode. And people submitted. We had submissions. We had a lot of submissions, but we only chose.
So many.
We only chose five.
Thanks, everyone that submitted, because whew. We had so many good ones.
Oh, you know, and somebody sent me a bunch. I got a bunch after the cutoff. And I said, you know, hey, guess what? You're too late.
Oh, I said,
you know,
no.
You're too late. You know,
Had you grown your beard by then?
No, well, it was started. But the other thing about that is, you know, it's like, you know, you got
more evil already.
Their rules are rules. I know we live in a time when rules don't matter, but I still hold to rule making.
Oh,
and
well,
rules are rules.
Oh, that's where I get it, I guess.
Well, there is that, but so we only had five approved entries.
Okay.
One was Inner Light from WK in LA. The other was Spock from SO in the Midwest. There was Dad Jokes from AA in LA. There was Renegade Kirk from JH in the Midwest. And I'm trying to bring up my email so I can like actually read to you a couple of these ones that were not actually approved entries, but hey, guess what? My email is very slow, and you know, I didn't look it up, so I'm going to apologize to Ben from the Midwest. We may just read Ben's haikus at a later date. And the last one was an entry called Prime D. Prime D from AW in the Midwest. And these were all fine entries, exquisite haikus-ish. But did you know we had 69 votes?
Wow, there we go. That's a lot of votes.
I'm serious, 69 votes. Do we have 69 listeners?
We do. We clearly do.
It would seem we have something like that.
Quite a few listeners here talking.
I think
that's established.
Hundreds. That's just a small percentage.
Hundreds.
It must be a small percentage. But the overwhelming majority. Wow. Of votes, 85.5% of the votes.
Yes.
In the haiku contest were cast for Dad Jokes from AA in LA.
Wow. AA, great job.
AA in LA is the big wiener. So there you go.
Wow.
So congratulations to AA in LA.
Wait, why don't we read that haiku just to remind everybody what it was?
Well, yeah, we will. I will. Oh, I'm reading it now, even as we speak. I'm like totally looking at it and forming the words in my brain. Oh, here they are. Okay. The winning haiku. What did Joe just say? Play it back again, my friend. Double the dad jokes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay, very good.
Good job, AA.
For some reason, AA must have a lot of friends out there.
That's pretty interesting, because I only asked a couple people to, and I did not vote for myself, I will say. I voted
what, this,
for...
Wait, this was your haiku?
Sorry, my name is Eric with an E. And,
It was AA in LA.
Yeah, that was clearly AA. Nobody spells their name. Thank you.
Okay, well, there you go.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the votes.
Well, yeah, there was...
tell him what he won, Dad.
Oh, yeah, he wins a personalized avatar of him being turned into a Vulcan.
Yes.
So I will create for you. Yeah, sometime in the next couple of years, I will create for you a drawing of you as a Vulcan. You know, with either headphones over your pointed ears or something. I don't know, and maybe even a mustache.
AKA, of all the pictures, he's going to use the screenshot of you.
Well, you can't tell if you have Vulcan ears or not with the internet. So that's the haiku contest. Congratulations. And thank you for everyone who entered the great.
Yeah, I love haiku. So many of those haikus. There were some really great entries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there were.
We should maybe we'll do this or something similar again sometime.
Well, you definitely mentioned something on a prior episode that I thought was fantastic.
What was that?
The Swedeing.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Well, Swede.
That was such a cool idea. Swede
videos.
Sweeted. Yeah, Sweeted episodes.
Sweeted episodes.
What would be
the best episode to Swede?
We could. The best episode to Swede?
I think about Mirror Mirror.
Well, yeah. Mirror Mirror might be good, yeah. But if I was gonna Swede a Star Trek episode, it would probably be. I'd have to really think about that. But
you know,
Arena would be great Sweded, because you have to make a lizard head and stuff like that. But I think it would be easier to Swede. The second one we did, or was it the third one we did? I think it was the third one we did, which was Return of the Archons.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, you know, all you need is like some, you know, paper towel tubes and bathrobes. You could do that really easy.
Yeah.
That would be totally Sweeted.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Hoodies, bathrobes, and paper towel tubes, and you got that episode.
a giant refrigerator box as a Landrew.
Yeah, well, there you go. And what's good. So, but that's an idea. I always thought maybe we could do a evil beard contest. See who can grow the
beards
best.
Is the evilest.
Who can grow the best evil beard? I thought we
should do that in November for sure.
Oh yeah, we could think about it. Your brother would probably be all over that. He grows an evil beard every year. But then again, he never shaves the sides, so it's not as evil. Uh-huh. You know, it's just, you know, like, you know, Jeremiah Johnson kind of a thing. So
is that another Amish dig or
no? Jeremiah Johnson? Jeremiah Johnson was a TV show and movie from the 70s.
Do you know this?
He was a mountain man. He went into the mountains and didn't shave for 5 years and caught grizzly bears with his teeth and stuff like that.
Sure, so, as mountain men do.
Well, they do. That's their job.
Wait, is this the famous GIF?
Jeremiah Johnson?
I think I've seen this.
It looks like the MST
Bear
movie.
Claw. Will Greer is Bear Claw.
Mm-hmm.
Bear Claw. Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I GTS'd it.
There you go. Yeah, GTS'er.
Official GTS'er. Cool.
Robert Redford is Jeremiah Johnson.
That was a movie. Oh, that was the movie. But
there was a
TV show. Maybe it wasn't Jeremiah Johnson in the TV show. Maybe it was Mountain Man Max or something like that. I don't know. But
so, all right.
So let's move on.
Moving on.
So yeah, congratulations to all the winners.
Because you all won in my heart.
Aww.
Yeah, they were all pretty good. I enjoyed them completely, and I'm really happy people entered. I mean, five entries. Woohoo! I'm all over that.
I mean,
those were five official entries. Yeah. And you accepted many other entries.
Oh, yeah. Some people entered like 20.
That was after whittling down the
collection. Well, you know, Ben from the Midwest, shout out to Ben from the Midwest, entered a whole crap load about a week after we closed entries. And so I had to like go, no, you're right out. Sorry, buddy. Sorry. Ain't going to happen. Got it. You know, there's rules. This world that we live in has rules, and I don't care who you are. You got to follow them. So, sorry. So anyway, okay. So mirror.
All right. Mirror town.
Mirror. It was.
It was season two
of the original series.
It was the original series. So one of
original series.
One of his first few episodes.
And boy, does he have a role!
Yeah.
Chekhov?
Chekhov.
Yeah. Well, you do know Chekhov was there as the hippie because he had long hair. And he was there to, like, you know, appeal to the kids.
Right, who wanted their Beatles hair.
Yeah, because, you know, the biggest show on NBC at the time was The Monkees.
Oh.
That was a show?
Hey, we're the Monkees.
Yeah, I thought that was just a band.
No, it was a TV show.
Really?
And it was the biggest show on TV at the time. And they were like, oh, man, we need like a hippie, beetle-y, haircut-y kid on Star Trek. So, yeah, so they put... Let's get this Russian guy, yeah. So, okay, Mirror was original series, season 2, episode 4. And do you want to do the synopsis or shall I?
Oh, you go right ahead because... Okay,
30-second synopsis. I'm putting the clock on. Yeah.
Start the clock.
Okay, Kirk and company, a couple guys, Kirk, Uhura, Scotty, and the doctor are down on a planet. I got to talk about that planet thing, but we'll talk about it later. Wait, I'm doing the synopsis. Okay, and they're going to beam up in the middle of a... ion storm. Mm-hmm. They beam up. Oh my goodness, the ion storm made a rift in universes. Oh no, there's a parallel universe that we didn't know about, and Kirk and company show up in a different universe. And the reason we know they're in a different universe is because they're all wearing different clothes.
Right.
Their uniforms have changed. They have sashes and they have daggers, and Uhura is bare midriff.
Uh-huh.
She's like, wearing a halter top and a totally short, you know, mini skirt.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else is normal except for Kirk. He's, you know, got his like, it's a gun show for Kirk. He's got like, you know, he's got like a vest on, and you can see like, you know, it's a gun show. And so you're going like, oh my goodness, they're in a weird place. What's going on? Well, it turns out it's a parallel universe, and it's so parallel that it's anti-parallel because they're all evil. They're in an evil version of their universe where there's no Federation, but there's what they call the Terran Empire.
The Terran Empire,
and everything is bad there. I mean, literally everything is bad there. And to get a promotion, you have to kill your superior officer.
Assassination.
And everybody is like,
You're at 23 seconds.
Okay, Uhura.
But they figure out how to come back.
Spoilers.
You know,
spoilers.
Spoiler alert. They figure out how to come back to the real universe, Universe A, we're going to call these people Universe B, because they're kind of, you know,
bad.
B for bad. And the other thing is, women are really treated terrible in this universe.
Uh-huh.
I thought they got off light. I mean, it was a fun party.
and at the end, like, you know, the evil Spock had a mustache and goatee, and that's why he was the evil Spock.
Yes.
And this is, you know, at an early age, this solidified my theory of mustaches and goatee mean that you're evil. Because evil Spock had, you know, it was evil. It was evil Spock.
I mean, you've been known to don these from time to time. Do you just feel more evil sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like
when
I want to
embrace.
Well, you know, I embrace my evil side. You know, I have like on one shoulder I have like a devil, and on the other shoulder I have a turtle, and the turtle sometimes just kind of like goes, "What are you doing?" And the devil's going like, "Don't listen to the turtle." And I go, "Yeah, why would I?" And so I do whatever I want. So
you know, that's a Stephen King reference.
Ooh, I'm gonna write Stephen King. Maybe I'll get some royalties because this would be a really good novel.
Wait, yeah, good.
I'll split it with you.
I don't think that's how the royalties are gonna work. If Stephen King in his
he's
classic
just gonna pay
hit,
you.
he's gonna take my turtle devil reference and run with it, and I get 50% of the book. This is gonna be good. I like it.
Oh, okay. So I would just, if you're done with your synopsis, how long was that, Eric?
Oh, that was 28 seconds.
Oh,
great job.
Sure.
Great job.
So I just would like, so I looked up Ion Storm on the internet. I'm going to GTS.
GTS in it.
And
it's okay. We share the
only, it only showed up on Memory Alpha so far.
There is no such thing, I know.
Ion Storm was a type of magnetic storm which contained ionically charged particles traveling at thousands of kilometers an hour.
Ooh.
Kilometers, so you know it's an advanced civilization.
Right.
Yeah, both
planetary and spaceborne ion disturbances could intensify to the point where navigation was dangerous and transporter use all but impossible.
Well, you know, and that was the thing. They should have thought about that before they did.
They should have thought about that,
they
huh?
They should have thought about that, but they didn't. They didn't. They said, oh, beam them up, Scotty. And guess what? You know. So,
is this where dilithium crystals came from?
No. Dilithium crystals were, you know, part of the Star Trek lexicon way before this.
Even before?
Oh, yeah. You know, they just needed to mine them on this planet because, you know, there's so many starships that need dilithium crystals. Now, the other thing, this brings up the point that I want to get to.
Good. The only one?
Oh, it's one of many. The capital of the Hulkan planet.
Is that where the Hulk comes from?
No, the Hulkans, the people that they were talking to.
Right.
H-U-L-C-A-N.
Okay, they're down on a planet, and they're talking to these people, and they're saying, hey, you need to give us your crystals. And the people said, no, we're very ethical. We're ethical people. We don't want to give you our crystals because, oh, you could kill people with them, and that would be so, you know, it would
ruin our civilization.
Oh, it would ruin everything. And we're not going to do that. And number one, this is the place they decide to meet them in the middle of a park on a pedestal.
Yeah, well, that's
very ancient Greece.
Yes,
this is where these people live, in the middle of a park. What, they're like over at Vanderveer? If I go over to Vanderveer in the middle of the Rose Garden, am I going to run into the Hulkans? I mean, what's the deal?
They don't want them to know where they live.
Really? Seriously? Oh, I was like, what? Wait, what? What? This is your capital? Your capital is a couple of chairs?
What if it's some lawn furniture
on a patio, for crying out loud.
What if they live in the mines with the crystals?
Why would they do that?
Because they want to make sure that they look over them and stuff.
Don't shame the Hulkers. Yeah. That's their way.
The dwarves lived in mines of Moria.
I have no idea. Why didn't they go down to talk to them down there? Why did they have to talk to them out in the middle of a park?
Because it's a sacred cave, a sacred mine that outsiders cannot go inside of. See, I got this. Hey, Hulkins, I got you. Okay.
Oh, so you've played Dungeons and Dragons before, right?
No comment.
Hi, this is Eric. I've played Dungeons & Dragons. Are we talking about Dungeons & Dragons right now?
You're going to admit it to them?
Well, you know what? I've already won the pinnacle of life. I'm going to have a profile picture that is me with Vulcan. Nobody can deny me my glory now.
Okay, so Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Tell me, is there some civilization where they meet their envoys out in the middle of a park?
I don't know of one. That's
you know what else? Okay. Star Wars, they're always landing 8 miles outside of the town and then walking in. Maybe they just met him outside. They're like, you know what? Don't bother walking in. We're just gonna meet.
We'll
you.
Go 90, you go yeah. 10. It's fine.
They're basically hitched. Well, the reason why I wanted to talk about the beginning of the episode so much was because I saw it 3 times because I fell asleep 3 times.
Oh, you didn't see Spock get hit with a skull?
So I, after falling asleep 3 times, I thought to myself, oh crap, I cannot, would that make for an interesting talk and track if I'm just like, no idea what happened? but then I decided, I'm going to fast forward. Instead of starting from the beginning again, I'm going to fast forward to the part I keep losing it at. And then I will watch this. So I did finish the episode.
Hey, congratulations.
Because we talked about with City on the Edge of Forever, we talked about how, man, did that episode move? And I do not feel like this episode did that. This episode, it was like, oh, they went back to talk. And then they thought of something to do, so they went and did it, but then they went back to talk. And then they went out to try to do something. Then they went back to talk. And it was just
Wasn't quite the same tight script.
It wasn't, yeah.
But people love it because it had evil Spock. People love it because he's got evil Spock. Everybody loves evil Spock. Okay.
But I don't know if this is controversial or not, but can we agree that evil Spock wasn't that evil?
Oh!
I mean, he looked evil.
There's an entire Gizmodo article that I was reading.
Ooh, okay. That was kind of the
50th anniversary of this episode. And that's what he was arguing of this writer, James Whitbrook, on October 2017, was arguing that that's why this episode is so great. Because you have the mirror evilness of everybody, except Spock is the same. He just has a different... He's coming from a different philosophy, but he still is logical. Mm-hmm. He still is trying to follow the rules, and the ethics are just different.
I think that's very appropriate or accurate.
Interestingly enough.
Uh-huh. Thought you were going to say Star Trek Vic.
Interestingly enough, I also watched the Enterprise Mirror.
Oh yeah,
Universe episode.
I didn't. I probably should have. Huh?
Called The Mirror Darkly or something like that.
Yeah.
And in that episode, it explains the Terran Empire.
Oh.
And it seems that in First Contact, at the end of First Contact, spoiler alert, in the end of First Contact, when the Vulcans land and they meet Zefram Cochrane, instead of like giving them the Vulcan salute and saying hi, he pulls out a shotgun and kills the first Vulcan on the planet.
Oh, snap.
And then they all run into the spaceship with shotguns and kill the rest of the Vulcans and steal their technology.
Oh, no.
And thus the beginning of the Terran Empire.
Dang.
So,
Dad,
you need to watch that episode just for stuff like that. And then later on, we find out that the Terrans, the Earthers, the Terrans have subjugated other races that they've conquered. And they conquered the Vulcans, they conquered the Andorians, and the Vulcans are like second class citizens in the Terran Empire.
Wow.
And so if that held true to the time when Kirk and company showed up with the evil Spock, he may have been, you know, more of a person who, oh, you know, I don't really want to make waves because guess what? You know, I'm a second class citizen in this empire because I'm not a Terran.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't see that in that episode, it was, set up in the other one.
Yeah, well, that makes more sense because I was just wondering, I'm like, wait, Vulcans? I don't know. It's just like this. I mean, I guess the Vulcans would be an evil race, I guess, in this universe. I was thinking, I'm like, how did a Vulcan be in this empire? You know what I mean? But so that makes more sense that like, oh, it's because they were conquered and they were taken.
Yeah, it's because they were conquered. That's another thing.
And they were forced to be this way.
That explains why Spock isn't completely evil. Yeah, right. he's only 50% more evil.
But it's interesting how the reason, so at the end of the episode when he helps Kirk get back, that he's like, spoilers. Well, it's because I want, or he's like, well, I want my old Kirk back.
So right.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, well, because he's more comfortable and he's like, you know, totally with it. The other thing is, why aren't the Helkins evil?
Maybe they were. You only know about to sell them.
No, they weren't. They weren't going to sell. They were still very ethical, and they were willing to die for.
Well, see, that's why when I was watching the episode, I figured that they were the ones that did this. Like that the Hulkins are the ones that like made the rift in the parallel universes to like teach. Yeah, to like test Kirk to see how he would do in this universe, to like see if they would deserve the dilithium. You know, like I thought that's what where it was going, but nope, you never see him again.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Yeah.
This was purely an ion storm accident.
That's an interesting thing. And maybe you should have been a script writer back in the 60s. But I'm guessing
I found my place in Hollywood.
Well, and it was 30 years before you were born. But here's the thing. If you had brought that up in the 60s and said, this is like a great plot point, the network execs would have said, what? No, we need more miniskirts. We need a little bit more of like, okay. You know,
Uhura's
midriff. We need a little more of that.
Let's talk about the women in this episode.
I mean, they're an inspiration. You know, she, for example, what's her name? Marina?
Who was the girl?
Marina?
The courtesan's name.
Marina. Girlfriend.
Well, she was the captain's lady, was her official title. And I think she was an empowered woman. That's what she seemed like to me.
Well, shut up.
Hold it.
It was awful. She didn't want more at all. Like,
she wanted to be the captain's lady.
But that was great that Kirk was like, don't you want more? And she's like, no.
Here's the thing. Before we go into this, you guys watched Mad Men.
Yes.
Okay, so you know where women were.
Yeah, in the society.
When this screenplay was written.
Fair. She did have a January Jones about her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The other thing that you know we need to say is Roddenberry. And here's the thing: I never found any reference that said Roddenberry was trying to address the plight of women in society.
Yeah, that's giving him a lot of credit.
But Roddenberry. That's one of the things he tried to do with Star Trek was address, you know, issues in a science fiction-y way so people would think about
them. Let's give a horror bear midriff so that we can focus on, hey, this is how you guys view women.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I kind of, you know, at in some respects I kind of wonder if I did not look to see who wrote it.
Jerome Bixby or something like that.
Yeah, it should have been DC Fontana. Because if it had been DC Fontana, her real name is Dorothy.
But she had to change her name to make it look like she was a man.
Yes, she had to change it to DC Fontana so nobody would know she was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But she wrote a lot of Star Trek episodes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shout out to DC.
Well, she started out as Roddenberry's executive assistant. And then she said, hey, you know, I can write this crap as good as anybody else. So she started writing scripts and Roddenberry said, hey, this is a good one. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, this crap is as good as the other guy.
This is as good as any crap that we put on the TV. No, but see, that was the thing. I always kind of thought that maybe Roddenberry was trying to go down the road and say, look at how you treat women, right. You know? Or it was either that or it was the network exec said, hey, we want shorter miniskirts and a little bit of bare midriff.
Or it was a statement on sex working. Like, hey, you know, maybe we should maybe some people want to be sex workers.
Maybe that's
I don't think so. But it may have been a statement about, because when they returned to the real universe, women were slightly more respected.
Yeah. Well, slightly. Yeah, that was the thing.
Seriously, slightly. Okay.
We'll talk about the end of the episode later,
but I want to say in the very first pilot, the executive officer.
Oh, right. Was a woman.
Was a woman.
And they said, no.
And they said, nobody's going to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second pilot, she was gone and was turned into a nurse.
The computer. Yeah. Well, she's the voice of the computer later on, but.
Yeah, no, in, yeah,
in
way later
next
on.
Gen, but yeah.
Yeah, but no.
She was
Majel Barrett went from executive officer to nurse.
Oh man, that would suck as an actor. Like you're demoted. Not only is your character demoted, but you are demoted in real life too.
Oh yeah, no shit. And that was, you know, and that was the terrible. That was the terrible secret. Well, it wasn't a secret, but that was a terrible thing that Star Trek did to women back then.
Right.
You know?
Well, that was the thing. So Uhura's arc in this episode, she starts off, oh my God, I hated it. I was like, was it her or was it the fact that they just weren't giving her lines? But it was like, she's like, Captain, what's going on? Captain, tell us what's happening. It was like, girl, nobody knows what's happening. She's like, what are you doing?
It was like, Captain, hug me and make me feel better.
Yes, and that was the thing. Was she like turns to him and she goes, Captain, I. And it was so awkward.
And we're looking, but we're looking at it from eyes that have 50 years of history them.
Well, so then, I want to keep
50 years is a half a century. You got to remember.
And half of evil beard. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so then she, like during the whole fight with Spock, which was pretty badass, by the way. I mean, for 60s fight choreography, it was pretty good. For network television fight, it was pretty good.
I loved, you know, hey, that breakaway skull.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, it smashed all over the place. I loved that.
So she gets flung around. Like, she barely tries to get in the fight, but she does try. She gets flung far.
I know.
But.
Oh, she didn't know karate.
No. Sulu goes down with a karate chop from Kirk. She didn't have a karate. Well, that was the thing.
She wasn't Neo. She didn't know kung fu.
Exactly. Mm. Well, that was the thing. I was annoyed. I was like, don't they all have fight training?
Like, oh, they should. Absolutely. Well, but you know, she was still the telephone operator. You got to remember.
I get that, but it made me so happy for the new Star Trek, the cast, new Star Trek, and how Zoe Saldana is like so, like, you know that she could do anything. She would kick butt if she needed to.
Tenet Yar.
She
could totally kick ass. Yeah, for she sure. kicked ass a
they
lot.
Had her, they had her kick butt in like the first two episodes.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And then she got killed, but still.
Well, okay. So the end of the episode when Kirk's quote unquote girlfriend, points a gun at them, a phaser, whatever. Right. Uhura karate chops her hand. Or does something and takes this phaser from her. And I was like, there you go, girl.
And that was girl on girl. And that was okay. It wasn't threatening to the males in the audience. Right. We just don't want to threaten males.
Right.
Okay. No. You can understand that in the current political climate. I'll say no more.
Yes. I was glad that at least that happened. Because she needed to do something in this episode other than just like flail around and get hit on by Sulu.
Yeah, I know. So. And, you know, this was the role she was given. She was happy to play it. And she was an inspiration to
a
number of young ladies.
That's right.
That was what Whoopi
Goldberg said was like it meant so much to see her on screen, and then she got to be in Star Trek herself. Like,
well, there you go, and that was good, and so you know, no matter what that role was, or how
I'm just saying, I'm at least glad that she got to have a moment at the end. So
she did, but. Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, looking at this episode, with 2018 eyes, I was like, oh my God. I'm like looking at all of these, the whole thing about Sulu walking up to her and saying, hey, baby, you know, you want it kind of a thing. And I'm going like, oh my God, this is an HR moment. Where is HR? Why? Oh, no.
He was evil.
What? Where is a? Oh, it's evil HR? Oh, yeah. Okay. HR. I get that.
Your complaints and they put it in the disposer.
they put it in the circular file.
Yeah.
And that very well could be, that could be it. Or maybe they don't even have an evil HR. But, so if you watch this episode and you've never seen it before, be aware that it's 50 years old and it's a different time, a different place. And these people are evil.
It was supposed to be evil. I think that's the takeaway, is that they knew it was bad too.
True. They were saying that this universe, they're not speaking to women the way that women should be spoken to. Yeah? I mean, that's at least something.
Especially was supposed to be part of the order.
They were showing you, like, hey, you don't want her to be talked to like that, do you?
Not Uhura. We all love her.
Exactly. But, so that's cool.
I want to have her baby. But
then, of course, at the end, Kirk is like, oh,
okay.
Who's that little vixen?
Okay, that's where I was gonna go.
That was a pretty stunning. You're really impressed by Kirk the whole episode.
Well, yeah,
he's figuring this out. He's not crossing any lines.
No. Well, he did like make out with that. You know,
he gave her a pack.
The captain's woman.
Oh, like, you haven't kissed me like that in a while.
You haven't kissed me lately, and you know, hey, wait a minute, it's in the contract. I'm wearing my special dress for you.
And yes, he said no.
It's in his contract. He has to kiss a girl every episode. And you know, and this was the it's time to kiss the girl. Okay, we'll do this. But you know, hey, guess what? She was still like, you know, your subordinate. I mean, mm-hmm. If I was a manager and I walked up to one of my employees and said, hey, baby, you know, smack one on me, that's not going to happen. Okay. And, or, you know, but I guess it's an evil universe.
Right. It's an evil universe.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Right. That doesn't happen in the, or wait, or did it happen in the game? Wait, let's think about that for a second.
Well,
employees did your get with?
Kirk always had a thing for Yeoman Rand. He had a thing for Yeoman Rand in the first season.
Wait, is this when you did Love Trek or?
Well, no, seriously. He did, you know, and at one point in time he said, you know, Yeoman Rand, she's so beautiful. I'm not supposed to notice her. But have you noticed her, Mr. Spock? I haven't noticed her, but I try not to. But, oh, she's very beautiful. And it's like, oh, seriously? This is, you know, this is a conundrum for you. You know, she's your yeoman, man. You know, if she makes you, like, think, oh, she's too beautiful, get another one. Get some guy that is be your yeoman. If there's a temptation there.
Wait, what are we saying?
Hey, I'm saying I don't want to demote the girl, but you know, hey, you know, definitely give her other responsibilities.
Promote her out of, no.
Oh, you seriously?
You don't send a woman off to some other department because you're afraid you're gonna like fall for her.
Well, no, but
no. You get yourself under control.
No.
Your job is separate from your personal life.
Trying to be under control. This is what I was. You know, he was trying to be under control, but she's too beautiful. She was just way too much for him.
Oh wow! You know? So that's like the Vera Green, what was her name in like the James, the only one woman that James Bond ever loved, or
Ava Green.
Well, he should have never fallen for her because it ruined his entire career after that.
Yeah. He could never love again.
Well, it's not just that, it's, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you can't focus on his job.
Hi.
Well, what else do you have for this episode, Dad?
Why are you waving at me? What are you trying to say? Oh, you're saying it's time to move on.
No, I said hi, Mom. Mom made a guest appearance.
Okay, hi, daughter.
Oh, she's gone now.
Okay, wait. So, wait. What other things do you want to say about this episode? I have one more thing I want to say about this episode.
Okay, this episode. So we did bring up that he ended up hitting on that girl at the end of the episode, and I was like, that is so wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he should. Was, he, He shouldn't be going over there and flirting. I'm sorry. That
doesn't
happen.
It was so weird. Like, the whole episode was actually pretty uplifting. Like, yeah, there's some good in the world. Spock's good. And then at the end, he's like, I'm going to go hit on this subordinate.
I know. But again, we're looking at that with 2018 eyes.
Sure. But okay. Even Spock was like, really, Kirk?
Yeah. Yeah, but Spock doesn't care. He has no caring bone in his body. He doesn't have a heart. And that's what makes Kirk what he is. He has a heart. He's a lover.
Sure,
not a
that's
fighter.
What it's called.
A hopeless romantic.
Okay, go ahead. What was the other thing you wanted to say about this episode?
One thing.
So when they're trying to get back into the transporter, because that's what's gonna transport them, and the ion storm is gonna put them back in their universe, right?
If you get hit on the head and you start speaking another language, you hit yourself again on the head.
So they're trying to transport, and Scotty's at the helm, or the transporter operations computer, and he's like, guys, you need somebody to hit transport, so who's gonna do it? And so Kirk is like, Scotty, get on that transporter
pad.
I'll do it, right? And
that's an order, Scotty.
But then, yeah, yes, Captain. But then, of course, Spock comes to the rescue and says, oh, I mind melded with the doctor, so I'll do it. I'll send you guys back. Right?
Okay, gotcha.
Which reminds me of our City on the Edge of Forever, ever, episode.
Really?
Because we were talking about how the hell did the Dr. McCoy transport himself to that planet if he knocked out the transporter security officer? And we had this whole big discussion on, you have to have somebody to transport you down. And so that was I thought that was cool that was brought up again there. They're like, no, we need somebody to do it.
In the other episode, he mind melded with the transporter.
The doctor did.
Hey, today we can put on a headset and think something, and the computer will do it.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Is that a Google or?
Oh, no.
Who can?
Computers can. I saw a TED Talk just the other day where they have a headset. You put it on, you think something, and the computer does it. It sounds nuts, but it's real. And this is 200 years in the future.
They're tricking.
Why can't you just stand on the transporter pad and go
do a little Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie? Blink.
Oh, it's more like the guy in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels when he says, may I go to the bathroom? And they say, yes. And he goes,
yes, exactly like that.
He just thinks it and it happened.
Well, that was my last thing.
That's
what do you
got? Dirty Rotten Scoundrels reference.
I thought you had a pretty good wall of quotes where Bones.
Ah, yes. Well, I
yeah,
well,
give
I
me
want
a wall of quotes.
You want me a wall of quotes? I got a wall of quotes.
What's a good one?
I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
Well, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, I like, he is a lot like our Mr. Spock, isn't he? So, and that was why he wanted to save him.
I just liked the security or like the transporter guy being like, no, Mr. Spock. Yes, Mr. Spock.
And then he got tortured anyway.
And then he gets tortured anyway. Yeah, I know. Hey, you know.
I was always calling him Mr. Spock. I thought it was funny.
Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, wall of quotes. I didn't really have a wall of quotes per se. I did like a lot of Scotty's lines when they were talking about, hey, why don't you just, put this whole procedure on this tape and we'll give it to Scotty and he'll figure it out. And he looks at it for like 2 seconds and he goes, well, we're going to have to balance the warp drive for four people, and it's like, shit, you figured that crap out in like 2 minutes. You have got to be the biggest genius on the planet.
He's smart.
He's smart.
Very smart.
He's wicked smart.
Speaking of Scotty, I want people to like watch Scotty in these episodes and watch Scotty in the movies. The character completely changes.
Wait, what changes about him?
You know,
there is something. The Scotty in these episodes back in the 60s was a little more hard edge, a little more businesslike, a little more. And the Scotty in the movies was like, you know, Uncle Scotty.
It's because he got so big and doughboy. Well, I feel like the Scotty in the movies has a bigger role than Scotty in the show. So far, like, Scotty just has like a couple lines here and there. But I mean, he has a bigger role in Trials and Tribulations, I guess.
That's the thing.
Trouble of Tribbles. But I don't know.
He has a pretty featured part in Trouble.
He does, but like a lot of these other ones that we've watched, he's barely been in.
He's always the guy that's
developing his character.
He's like Simon Pegg in Mission Impossible. He's the guy crawling underneath the things, trying to like put the stuff together and get crap done.
Rather than Simon Pegg in Star Trek.
Well, there's that too. He's Simon Pegg.
Yeah,
he's just Simon Pegg.
Hey, you know what? Scotty, James Doohan, was probably one of the most amazing people you're ever going to want to meet, even though I never met him. But I've seen so many interviews with him where he was the most gentle soul, the most loving soul, the person who he went out of his way with even people that he met at Star Trek conventions. Yeah. At one point in time, he met somebody at a Star Trek convention and they communicated with him and they were about to commit suicide and he talked them out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy is like, and he followed this person and kept in touch, and they were like friends and stuff.
Aww.
This is a good day.
There's a lot of noise going on.
Yeah, the dogs are playing.
They're so excited.
Yeah.
We can cut this.
It's okay.
No, that was a poignant moment.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't we ruin it with dogs?
I don't know.
They're being happy and poignant themselves. Well, so Eric, do you have a favorite moment of the episode that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I thought there were a couple really cool moments. I thought one of the things that you don't see in Star Trek very often is like an acknowledgement of the politics. Like sometimes in Next Generation, they'll like make fun of the politics and how Picard is above it all and stuff like that. But this one where they're in the evil universe, and Chekhov just tried to assassinate, was it Kirk? It was,
yeah.
Because Kirk was going soft. And
yeah.
He saw his opening. And so he hires his goons to come down and kill Kirk. And one of the goons is like, nah, bruh. And turns on the other goons, turning the tide.
Yeah.
And then Kirk's goons come down and they're like, ah, you chose the higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you made the right choice, son. So I thought that was a really cool moment. You don't see that in Star Trek very often where they're like, you know what? This is how some civilizations have functioned, where in order to get ahead, you have to have the right protection behind you and people have to want to be on your side. So you have to play your cards right in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Sorry, now that was a long explanation, but I thought it was a really cool moment.
And interestingly enough, as I've been reading about the Terran Empire, it was actually patterned after the old ancient Romans.
You felt that a little bit.
And that was why these people were the way they were and why assassination was the way to get ahead. You just had to kiss up to everybody, which reminds me of corporate America. But I digress.
Do you have an interesting Star Trek fact for us, Dad?
I do have an interesting Star Trek fact. As I was looking this stuff up, I found that the Sci-Fi Channel or maybe it's just a thing called Sci-Fi Wire. I thought it was sci-fi. There were a lot of incursions into this universe. It seems there were four incursions into this mirror universe in Deep Space Nine.
Uh-huh.
There was one incursion into this universe in Star Trek Enterprise. Interestingly enough, they never ran across this universe in Next Generation.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But and maybe when the storyline of your Star Trek series goes stale, mm-hmm. you have to haul out the mirror universe. I don't know.
But maybe Next Gen never got there.
I would agree.
I did not. Yeah, I didn't really. I only saw one of the DS9 episodes. And it would seem in that episode, they talked about how when Kirk, at the end of this episode, talked to Spock and said, one person can make a difference. You need to start your own revolution. It would seem he did. And there was something going on. He made ripples into the future. In the evil universe.
Have you identified yet another violation of the Prime Directive? Well,
there you go.
And change stuff.
Yeah.
This isn't a civilization that hasn't discovered warp drive. This is like an evil universe. But they ranked all of these episodes from worst to best. And most of the worst are the ones in our DS9 episodes. Then 5 is the Enterprise season 4 episode, The Mirror Darkly, which I really liked, by the way.
Yeah, it's subjective.
Only because everybody was like so evil. But they did find that the original episode, Mirror, Mirror, was the best of all the evil universe episodes.
Of course, it was the first.
Thank you.
Well, there you go.
Well, so, they're like, no man can change the future. And he's like, yes, but one man can change the present. Which reminded me of, you can't change the world, but you can make a dent. From Death to Smoochie.
That was I thought you were talking about Harvey Dent.
Sheldon Mooch. Get me Smoochie.
Get me some Smoochie.
Get me Smoochie.
I'll get you off that smack. Oh, yes, we will. We'll get you off that smack. Oh, yes, we will. You know what I'm talking about, Carl.
I feel like we should raise a glass for our 3 fallen red shirts of this episode.
At least 3.
Yeah, they didn't have any names, but where did they die?
The 3 red shirts died in the med bay.
Yeah, which is ironic.
Yeah. But it was just by Kirk's girlfriend just zapping him with her camera, apparently.
I feel like we could have an entire episode of Talk and Trek just about that device.
How
Kirk had risen through the ranks. Because he had an alien device that could kill anybody he wanted at will.
Oh, yeah. That is so sweet. I would totally use that. I would totally use that. Oh, just driving to work. There are probably 4 or 5 people on my way to work. I would go like, oh, you're out of here. I'm gone.
No, I don't like this. We need to get rid of your beard. Right.
Remember, I'm the evil dad. Evil dad.
Well, let's raise a glass to our 3 fallen red shirts because, man, did they go fast.
Yeah, they do.
They go quick.
Moment of silence.
May they rest in peace.
Fallen red shirts. God love them.
I love them.
Okay. Right, okay, yeah. Fallen red shirts.
Is that all we got?
Did you announce the next?
Oh, yeah, episode? Dad. What's the next episode?
Okay, well, the next episode, it's gonna be a while before we can record. Because
yeah, I gotcha.
The next one I want to do is a movie.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
All right. Go to Stars on Demand.
Star Trek. actually, I bought you a DVD, and I'll give it to you.
You did, huh?
Yeah, I did. And it's the best ever of all the Star Trek movies.
Whoa, high praise.
Oh, it must be this one.
Directed by Nicholas Meyer and starring Leonard Nimoy.
No way.
Yes. Bill Shatner.
What?
Buddy. Bill Shatner's in it.
Town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. B.B. Beach. Oh, she was actually, BB was in like a bunch of ER episodes.
Wait,
yeah.
I want to, what are you? I'm
okay. So
ahead.
Bridget was the second.
I was guessing Wrath of Khan.
That's your guess was right.
Oh,
Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Wow. Oh, my favorite. Of all the Star Trek movies ever.
I thought for a second you were doing a Final Frontier, but I wasn't
sure. Oh, and you know, when we went to the theater to see that, we were with a friend who was like completely freaking annoying.
he's awful.
Every time Ricardo Montalban showed up, and we're talking, this is back in the 80s, every time Ricardo Montalban showed up, he went, "De plane, boss, de plane." And it was like, oh, shut up. Shut up. You know, nobody wants to hear that. But yeah.
I bet you got like a chuckle the first time, though, right? I mean,
the first time there was a chuckle. The sixth time, no.
All right, sweet. Yeah,
and you know, I want you to like watch this
again.
And listeners, watch this and think about the current political climate because. I was watching this, and I was also thinking about how so many other countries around the world are being. The political will in these countries is turning into these
cons.
Like, it's almost prophetic. There's all of these cons showing up who are like, we'll discuss it. You know, that's just a little taste of where I'm going.
Sounds like a good discussion.
But that's only part of it. The other part is like, spoiler alert, Spock dies.
Oh. Yeah.
And we cry. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I feel like now we will, now that I'm like, I like know Spock more than I've ever known him before.
Ugh. Right. Well, and you know, evil Spock is actually pretty good too.
And now I know that even evil Spock is good
too. Well, evil Spock doesn't die in this movie. Evil Spock's still alive.
Gonna like have more impact now than it ever did.
Right. Oh, there you go. There you go.
And their friendship means so much more now.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Well, yeah, it was a great movie. I love it.
Tune in next time, listeners.
Let's thank Eric Anderson for being our guest again.
Thank you for having me.
Special GT tester.
I did not have a
guest
this time.
Hey, we're all wearing our Talking Trek t-shirts.
We are. If you'd like a Talking Trek t-shirt, email say_hi at talkingtrek.com.
Yes, and for $50 plus shipping and handling. God help us.
All right, Dad. You say we end this thing.
Make it so. Do 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 in loving memory of my brother Bill. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him.